Turn over to Colossians chapter 1. There are some great descriptions of Jesus Christ throughout the scriptures. We think of Isaiah 53, the description of him as the Redeemer, and by his stripes we are healed, and tremendous description. And in John chapter 1, the description of him as created. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word what? Was God. And he created all things. And nothing that has been created has not been created except by him. And so Hebrews chapter 1, thy throne, O God, lives forever. And so in Revelation 1, you have a very interesting description, a metaphorical description, you know, with the white hair, with a sword out of his mouth and stuff like that. And so but here there's no greater theological description of who Jesus Christ is than right here, this passage here in Colossians chapter 1. And I think the reason why we have this great description here, obviously the Lord led him to write it, but he had never been to Colossae, so, and they had some question, who is this Jesus? So he gives them a very clear idea who Jesus is. And so this is a very powerful passage. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, he says, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood and forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, for by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and he in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. In one compact statement, it describes who Jesus Christ is and what he has done. And it's a very powerful summary, you know. And if you cannot convince us of the deity of Christ, this actually gives a very direct statement, which will continue in chapter 2. This is the most comprehensive summary of who Jesus Christ is in the entire Bible. Matter of fact, the core, the very foundation of the gospel is known who Jesus Christ is. That's the core. If you got the wrong Jesus, you don't have the gospel, right? He who has the Son has life. Who does not have the Son does not have life. 1 John chapter 5. It has to be the right Jesus. And in Galatians, Paul says, if you preach another Jesus or another gospel, you're what? You're cursed. The Greek word is an anathema. You're an anathema if you preach a different Jesus, a different gospel. And so the description begins by describing Jesus as the Savior, because that's where it touches us on the most personal level. He has delivered us from darkness, from evil, from sin, from spiritual ignorance. We've been delivered. By the way, there's a couple implications there. We need to be delivered, right? If you're sinful, you needed the deliverer. And secondly, we couldn't deliver ourselves. So he's the one that did the delivering. And he delivered us not only from darkness, but he says not only that, but the power of darkness. This is not the word dunamos. This is the word exousia, which means the authority. In other words, sin had authority over us. Because you were born in sin, right? It had total authority over us. Matter of fact, that's part of the 5 points of Calvinism, is the fact that total depravity is, in other words, there's nothing within us that has anything that's good, that's anything that's commendable before God. And so, matter of fact, all righteousness are as what? Filthy rags. And so he says the authority, sin had authority. You were conceived with sin having authority over you. I mean, they had no choice in the matter. So deliver us from the authority of darkness, from the control of Satan and from sin and from eternal life. And so, not only are we delivered from the power of darkness, but we're also delivered in such a way that one day you'll be delivered from the very presence of darkness. And so that's all part of this description we have here. And so here we have this from the power, from eternal life, from eternal sin to or death to eternal life. And Christ has moved us and by removing us from the power of Satan and transferred us. By the way, this is a very difficult Greek word to translate. I think the King James says it translated us. And we think of translation as, a Bible translation or something, but it translated, moved us, it removed us from one point to another. So it transported us or moved us out of Satan's power and kingdom to the kingdom of Christ. By the way, you are not going to be in the kingdom of Christ, you already are. Right? You already are right now. The kingdom lives within you. And one day we'll be very present with Jesus in his kingdom. And so that's why this world is not my home, we're just passing through, right? That's why you are joint heirs to the throne of God. And so here we've been transported. We were citizens of a fallen world, now we're citizens of heaven. And of course that was a theme we saw back in the book of Philippians, is the fact our citizenship is not here. We're citizens of heaven. And so that's why, Joe, I had you read out of John chapter 3, the love of God manifests himself in such a way that God sent his son to produce a new birth that proffers forgiveness through his blood and redeeming us. Now let me stop for a second here and talk about the blood. The physical properties of the blood did not save us. And we talk about the blood. It's metaphorical. He had to die, but he had to die by what? Shedding the blood. And that sacrifice is what saved us, but it had to be by the shedding of blood. And so, which is very interesting. I don't want to, but we are heading towards Easter. Many of your ones who were crucified were not nailed to the cross. Did you know that? They were tied there, and they hung on the cross for days. And they finally died when they no longer had the strength to lift themselves up, and they suffocated. It was a horrible death. But they couldn't do that with Jesus because what? The Sabbath day was coming. Not only was it a Sabbath day, it was a high Sabbath where the Passover and Sabbath met together. So it had to be a quick death. So that's why they nailed him to the cross. And then when it was coming towards sundown, remember our day starts at midnight. I don't know whoever decided that, but their day started at sundown. And so they had to make sure they were dead and off the cross before sundown. So that's why they were coming around breaking the legs. But Jesus had already died. And so they poked a spear in his side and then water and blood came out. And so he had already died. And that fulfills the prophecy of Psalm 22 where it says, not a bone of his shall be broken. And so here we have this manifestation of God himself making a sacrifice for us. Now, Jesus was qualified, the only one uniquely qualified to be the sin bearer because he was the exact image, essence, likeness, and substance of God. He was what the invisible God is. Now, let me stop and say that. I'm going to explain the Trinity by saying I can't explain the Trinity. No one could. I mean, and God said that. Who are going to compare me to, right? It's not a council of three gods. It's not one God with three names. I mean, these are modalism, right? These things have come up. It's what, and the more you talk about it, the more trouble you get. And that's why this word image, essence, is used here, we don't have a word that's exactly fits. He's exactly what God is, but he's also a separate person. So how's that work? I don't know. But he's exactly, as a matter of fact, it's interesting, in the Septuagint translation of the Old Testament, it's the exact same word that's used in Genesis 1, that we're made in the image of God. But unlike us, we're created, but Jesus isn't. And so, by the way, we're going to go into some theology today. You might get that impression here. And so here we have Jesus is the exact nature, the exact, not a copy, but it's the exact image and substance and essence of God. Everything God the Father is, Jesus is. But a separate person. Can you explain that? No. No, I better not. As one preacher said, the more I talk, the more heresy comes out. But Philip came to him, remember, in John 14, and says, well, show us the Father and be satisfied. He says, Philip, haven't I been with you so long? And you say, show me the Father. If you've seen me, you have seen the Father. That probably spun him up, right? Like, how does that work? Someone once said, if you can explain God, you don't know him. And so here we have Jesus' exact image, the essence of God. By the way, it's the exact same word as used in Hebrews 1 of Jesus. Because we don't have another word. We don't have one that's exactly... It's a word that's used when they would stamp an image on a coin, that's the exact likeness of Caesar. It's the same word used, but obviously that image is not Caesar, whereas the image that has been stamped on Jesus Christ from all eternity is God. Is that clear? So, yeah. So that's what we have. Then he's the firstborn of creation, and death is not a good term to use. The primogenesis here doesn't mean that he was first in time. It means chief born. The very top. We say, wait, you just said he wasn't created. He wasn't, but he was given a what? He was given a body. That God-man is the chief of all creation. He wasn't the firstborn. We know Adam was first made and then Cain came along. It's not first in time, but first in priority. He's a primogenesis, the very firstborn of creation, the very top, the very chief, the very essence of the beginning of all things. As a matter of fact, that's why it says over in Hebrews 10 that he is the, Hebrews 12, I'm sorry, the author, right, and finisher of our faith. He is it. He is the one that is very top of very of all of creation. It doesn't mean he was physically created, but his body was. As a matter of fact, in Hebrews chapter 10, the Holy Spirit has prepared a body for him that wasn't from man and woman, but prepared it within Mary, and he became the God-man, fully God and fully man, the Nicene Creed. And so what was in Mary was Theotokos, in the sense that she bore he who was God, but she didn't bear God, and God didn't come from her. Isn't this wonderfully confusing? And so I want to be perfectly clear while throwing fog out, I guess. But anyway, we have here, he's the pinnacle of all that there is. And so he was given rule over all creation because he was the one that created all things. And by the way, one of the greatest chapters in the Bible is ignored quite often. It's 1 Corinthians 15, where he is going to rule over all things till his what? Enemies are made his footstool, and then he's going to turn around and give it all over to the Father, who will be all in all. And so this is who Jesus is. So not only, it says, was he the chief born of creation, but he's also the creator of all things. Matter of fact, nothing that's been created wasn't created by him. And so when you hear the silliness about billions of years ago and, you know, there was this matter, stop, where did that come from? Well, they don't know. So they do these multiverses and stuff. And it all exploded. By the way, what explosions make what? Well, it makes messes, right? And if something explodes and the material's going out, what's going to do? Just keep going and keep going. That's called the law of inertia, right? So they're not going to combine to make anything. And gravity becomes less and less, you know, as it gets. And by the way, just to add more fun to it, if I explode something in an unconfined space, what kind of geometric figure does it make? It makes a sphere. Well, our universe is one flat frisbee. It's a disk, only 200,000 light years wide and 90 to 100 billion light years wide. And so, anyway, I didn't want to get into that. But anyway, it's silly to think of any other way this can happen. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. And why was everything created? Well, Psalm 19, that everything declares the what? Glory of God, right? And he did it, right? He is the creator of all things. And so John 1, nothing was ever created that he didn't create. So he created thrones and dominions. He created in all heaven, the host of heaven, Nehemiah 9:6. He created that on the first day according to that passage. And archangels and angels and cherubim and seraphim and living beings that you see in Ezekiel. And even the fallen angels, they were created in perfection, but they fell. And so, in matter of fact, when we read over, and I'm sorry, it says Hebrews 6 on your notes, but it's actually Ephesians chapter 6, where it says thrones and dominions and wickedness in high places, all those were created by the Lord. And not only were things created through him, but I want you to notice, this is kind of interesting, it was for him. Everything's for Jesus. Even though we're doing our own thing, you were created for him. By his own pleasure. The reason why we're not supposed to be doing our own thing is because we are here for Jesus. We're to please who? We're to please him. We're here for him. So the Father who did the planning says, Son, go create this, and it's all yours. And that's why we have over in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18, all authority, all power has been given to me, he says, right? It's been given to me. Till everything's finished, and he's going to turn it and gift it all back to the Father who will be all in all. And so here we have Jesus when his energy made. By the way, this is the most quoted passage from the Old Testament and the New Testament. 1 Corinthians 15:28, you sit here at my right hand till I make your enemies a footstool. That comes from Psalm 110:1. And it's quoted 6 times in the New Testament. So it's a very significant passage. That this is the plan. And so now it goes a step further. This is great. This is wonderful. All of you who love physics, it says, not only did he create all things, but by him all things consist. It's held together. Why does the atom hold together? Scientists don't know. They call it the quantum morality. And we get some weird things in science. Did you know there's much more spaces between the atoms than the atoms take up? So you're full of holes. We seem solid, but there's more spaces between. How does that work? I don't know. They were holy. Yeah. I mean, and so it said Jesus is the one who holds that together. Yeah, exactly. And you know what? If Jesus says, okay, I'm not going to hold things together anymore, gone. Out of existence. It would be. And so, you know, they don't know. They've invented some weird things You know, how does the negative electron going around the positive center not collapse upon the center? They attract each other. Let me give you an illustration. I don't want to get into the physics too much here. If we had an atom, a hydrogen atom, simplest atom, one proton, and one electron. If we'd blow up the size of a shopping mall parking lot, the proton would be the size of a softball in the middle of the parking lot, while the electron would be circling on the edge of the parking lot. That's how much space is in there. You're supposed to go, wow. Yeah. And Jesus holds that all together. Jesus holds that all together. And 92 natural elements, I know we've discovered some others, polonium and europium and stuff like that, but then try to force them together, which only lasts about 10,000 seconds. Well, anyway, I'm not going to get into the physics of this. The universe will dissolve if he doesn't hold together, and one day it will. 2 Peter chapter 3, it says it's all going to go away in fervent heat in a great confirmation, and this heaven and this earth will pass away to make room for a new heaven and a new earth. It'll all be gone. It's not going to be like T.S. Eliot said, this is the way the world ends, this is the way the world ends, not with a bang but with a whimper. It's going to be a great confirmation. It's going to be gone. And so Jesus is holding us together, and once he says, okay, that's it, it's all going to be gone. Matter of fact, one of the thoughts that really struck me years ago was the fact that Jesus had to hold the nails together to hold them to the cross. And the people who were hammering nails in. What a Savior. And so we have this tremendous reality of Jesus creator and holding everything together. And Jesus is the power behind all creation, all origins, and everything's created for him. And the continuing existence, he is the one behind the quantum reality that men cannot understand. And that's why Paul said in the book of Romans, thinking to himself wise, they have become fools. And then it leads up. Now, isn't that amazing? He's holding everything together. He's the creator of all things. Everything by him consists. And he says, why? Because he becomes the head of the church. That's why. That's the whole thing. It's the fact that in all creation, the incarnation, the atonement, the resurrection, were so that he can bring many sons to glory, that we might be with him. That's the for the joy that was set before him. He went to the cross. And when you look at Revelation 22, the only thing left of this present universe and this present world that continues beyond it is the believers in Jesus Christ. The saints are the only thing left. The only thing that transitions from this creation to the new creation is us. Because he did it all for us. And so in this powerful description that Paul gives to the Colossians, we are the redeemed of the Lord. But all these things he did and all the creation and all the holding things together and all consistent so that he might atone for our sins, that he might bring us into the new heaven and the new earth in glory. Because that's the type of Savior we have. So along with the elect angels, believers enter the new heaven and new earth, but not only as followers, but as joint heirs to the very throne of God. Then it says Jesus is the chief born of the dead. Now, not the first born from the dead, but he is the first of the resurrection. We are raised because he is raised. Without the resurrection, we're not resurrected. And by the way, everybody gets resurrected, some to life, some to eternal death. Revelation chapter 20. And so he is the chief, the very prime of the resurrection, that the bottom line, that he might have the preeminence over all things. Whether you bow your knee to him now or later, you will. Every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. Philippians chapter 2, verse 11. And so Jesus is the chief born, the primary one, that preeminence over all things. And even though the triunity of God cannot be grasped, salvation can be. We don't have to worry about the theological details of the Trinity. All we have to do is embrace the Savior. Because God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And I believe it might be this passage which inspired him to write, Alleluia, what a Savior. And all God's people said, Amen. Let's pray. The gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the wonder, the marvel of you and your Son and what you've called us to be and what you called us to become. And Lord, I pray, Lord, this day, if there's anyone here that does not know Jesus as Lord and Savior, as this day will be the day of salvation. And Lord, as we walk to quite often a banal and evil world, that sometimes we forget this. But we need to remember the gift you've given us through Jesus Christ, the one who created, the one who holds all things together, the one who went to the cross for us, the one who was raised from the dead, sits at the right hand of the Father for us. Lord, may we walk in the very presence, understanding that you made us royalty, royal priesthood before you. Lord, empower your people to walk in that way, to be that light, that you might use us in a way to expand your kingdom for your glory through Jesus Christ. Amen. I think after a passage like this, the little gospel message even has more meaning. Because quite often we say it in such a way, we know it, right, we know it, and we say it, and it sort of thing. But the power behind of what Jesus Christ did is